Blog Talk Radio.
Come on.
Everybody, I'd like to welcome you to Garden of Enlightenment with Louie Wildev, Katie, Gray Eyes, and Francisco. Today, we're going to be doing some front page picks. Oh my goodness, I'm already coughing. Some front page picks and some poetry that has not been read for our last couple of contests due to the amount of fabulous rights. And also because we had holidays, so, and we all know what was going on with that, so I'm not going to repeat it. Tell you a little bit about ourselves. We are the Late Night Poets Group, and we're on every Monday, and there's shows every evening, and we have After Midnight. And also these shows are supported by poetry, and we want to thank everybody who donated poems for these books, that you can find them on Amazon.com. They are the Late Night Poets anthologies, and they are just beautiful because the poems were collected from around the world. So welcome to the show. And Gray Eyes, would you like to start picking up the links, please? Okay, so I'm going to try and pick up the links if I can.
All right. I was having trouble with the link. We got Katie online. Hello, Weaver.
Hi,
hello.
Katie.
Hello, my dears.
Welcome, welcome.
How are you tonight?
I'm wonderful, thank you. Ready for mayhem and happiness.
Great to have you.
Well, it's always happy when you're here.
Thank you.
What do we have?
So we have area code 703. Hello, 703. Who's
calling,
please?
Hello.
Zach?
Yes.
Hi, Zach. Welcome
Hi.
To the show. I can't tell who you are, guess you guys answer. Welcome, Zach. Great to have you.
Good to be here. Thanks. Oh, man, I'm excited.
I'm excited.
Okay, so we have area code,
and we
have area code 585.
Ooh, it's the butter voice, Laurent.
Good evening.
Good evening, Laurent. How are you today? It's good to have you.
Thank you. I'm all about the mayhem as well.
Well, that's what we need in this show. Thank you. And who's our next caller, Greg?
That's it for now.
There's 703.
Yeah.
That's Zach.
That was Zach.
Okay. All right. So we got everybody on here. So welcome. Well, it's showing they're not picked up. No, that's another caller, 703.
Okay. Well, I can't see them. Oh, yeah, I can. Hold on 1 second.
That would be Miriam, right. I think.
And
Eric
Miriam?
703, who's calling, please?
Miriam is here.
Yay. Hi, Miriam. Welcome
Hi, Miriam.
To the show. Yay. We have a full house tonight. Okay, so here we go, Miss Katie. Let's start dropping in the poems, and we're going to do 3 comments per poem.
Okay, we have Ove by M. Sai Ulu, the percentage? No idea. Terribly sorry. Okay. Dre, would you like to start us off this momentous evening?
Sure. 1 second here. Okay, so we have Of The by MC Ulu, the then. Summer by Art, the dedication of the part of the wholehearted love in guard. By the sleeve, unarmed truth, coming into the soothe, and washes it dear. The follow of the piece of you left for another one, another one's mirror. To stifle under the sea, to fall vehemently under the plea of unconditional me. To show the heart, the love that I ever guard, as pain runs through this appointment, unto the rue of what this force may hold, unto the perimeter of my heart in gold, that I have seen the world unfaint to perplex the universal force of mine lake, and task it unto dear, that the fall unto the mirror is to perceptive, through as I pray with this frail ability of my hue to be in an open book, to take you under my hut, and let you know unbrazen of the truth, till I myself become like a child in the youth, to seize not of the scene, oh come with me dancing, till we float in the air of that of the love that does not dare to speak the truth, till we both are made of youth, sentiment of Ruth and poem.
Thank you, Gray, for reading My Silo's poem. And let's go ahead and get some comments. What did you think about the poem, Zach?
I loved how it seemed so warm at first, like the unarmed truth sort of entering unassuming. You felt at peace, like another season's near, and then I just felt the heated pain all of a sudden, like a chain link fence around the heart. And I sensed a wandering spirit that was ephemeral, and then I got the sense of fading youth. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Zach. Excellent comment. And Laurent, what did you think of Mai Sai Ulu's poem?
I thought this is a unique piece, especially given the way it's written and the sentiment of the roof in biblical terms, compassion and friendship. is treated in a way that I haven't seen before. Summoned by art, the dedication of the part, the wholehearted love and guard, by the sleeve unarmed truth, coming into the sooth, and watches it veer, the follow of the pieces you left for another one's mirror. I think mirror also has to do with a body of water. I forget exactly what kind. But this is all about love and showing the heart and acknowledging the pain that runs through everyone, discusses the disappointments and the forces that I think surround people who have established firm friendships and love. It's quite a piece. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Thank you. Excellent comment, Laurent. And Miriam, what did you think of my Su'ulu's poem?
May I skip this one, please? I'm having some troubles. I would love to comment
okay.
on another.
Okay. And I want to thank Gray Eyes. And since you did read this poem, Gray, I'd like to know your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. You know, it's got its own unique style and voice that speaks to protecting the heart, you know, and then and let you know the unabated truth, unabated of the truth till I myself become like a child in the youth. To cease not the scene will become with me dancing till we float in the air of love. You know, when you finally let go and fly in that love, that's a beautiful thing. So although he does have chains around his heart, he did open those locks and free himself. So it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Gray. Wonderful comment. And we're back to you, Miss Katie.
All righty. Next we have Hearts in Harmony by Jody Melton. And Laurent, would you care to read this for us, please?
Certainly. Hearts in Harmony. Hearts in Harmony. In the realm where truth and love are defined, unarmed, they stand, a force divine. I believe the whispered creed echoes through the hearts in need. Unconditional love, a gentle embrace in its warmth, all fears erase. Truth, unadorned, a guiding light, illuminates the darkest night. No armor, no pretense, just the soul in the tapestry of life. Each thread, a role, unarmed truth, an honest decree, pieces through the dark, the shadows, setting us free. With every heartbeat, love prevails. In its essence, our humanity sails. Final word on reality's stage, with a script written on wisdom's page. Through trials and storms, love will persist, a flame that even darkness can't resist. Unconditional, like the sun above, it whispers, choose love. No falsehoods can withstand the glare of truth, resolute, hanging in the air. I believe, a mantra to guide through the currents of life's tide. Let truth be the anchor, unwavering and bold. In its simplicity, stories unfold. And love, the melody that serenades, the symphony of grace that never fades. So, in the essence of our shared humanity, let unarmed truth and love be our unity, for in their embrace we find the key to a reality shaped by empathy. End quote.
Oh, you did such a beautiful read of Jody Melton's poem, Laurent. I really enjoyed hearing you read it. You know, one of the things that, you know, I do believe in unconditional love. And he brings that out, especially in that second stanza, unconditional love, a gentle embrace, and its warmth, all fears erase, truth unadorned, a guiding light illuminates the darkest night. And, you know, he wrote this for Martin Luther King, and I really loved his take on this and, you know, how he brings out the emotional aspects of what Martin Luther King was supposed to, you know, was expressing to everyone, you know, that we can fight without bloodshed. And, you know, and he says, through trials and storms, love will persist. a flame that even darkness cannot resist. Unconditional, like the sun above, it whispers, choose love. And I just thought those were just gorgeous stanzas and takes on his what he saw in Martin Luther's quotes. What did you think about this poem, Katie?
Oh, yes, it was really lovely. And it was a lovely read, too. The passion and the thought and the caring is all there. It's just every stanza, it's just oozing that kind of let's get on, let's love each other, tie-dye 60s vibe. And I love it. I love it. It's the way it should be. It's the way it has to be. But will it? I don't know. Anyway, beautifully done, beautifully read and beautifully written, and a joy. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Katie. Beautiful comment. And Miriam, what did you think of Jody's poem?
Well, these are definitely words to live by, and I particularly like the phrase unarmed truth, because so often people who are violent towards each other, each one of them thinks they have the truth, and it's so important for us to listen to each other. So I know mm-hmm. that the thoughts are from Martin Luther King, but I think they have been very beautifully worded here into a wonderful poem, and I wish we would all live by this.
Agreed. Excellent comment, Miriam. And Miss Katie, we're ready for our next poem.
And next we have Midnight Ride by Samuel Black. And Zach, would you give this a read, please?
Sure. Midnight Ride by Samuel Black. Revolution is coming. Revolution is coming. Revolution is coming. A bell is ringing. Love is 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 love. If one mind can change the world, imagine what we can do when you hear it. End poem.
Wonderful read, Zach. I enjoy listening to you read Samuel Black's poem. And let's go ahead and start getting comments. And I'm going to start the list over again so I don't miss anybody. Zach, I'd love to know your comment on this poem you just read by Samuel Black.
So it reminded me of Paul Revere.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up, Paul Revere. Wonderful. Speaks to the Virginia and me. Call to action. You know it when you hear it.
Mhm. Agreed. Excellent comment. And how about you, Laurent? What did you think of Samuel's poem?
Well, I enjoyed it a great deal. I like the title, and I like the way he started. The three lines of revolution is coming. Bell is ringing. And then he moves into love is love. And if I'm not mistaken, it kind of reminds me of one of the Beatles songs. I can't remember which one, but I can hear it in my mind. But I can't verbalize it. But words to live by, as Miriam said in the previous poem, one mind can change this world. Imagine what we can do when you hear it. It's a great piece.
Agreed. Thank you, Laurent. And Miriam, I'd like to know what you thought of Samuel Black's poem.
I've enjoyed it very much, and I saw several Beatles tunes in here. There's this one just called Revolution. It's going to be a revolution, and all you need is love, and we all want to change the world, and imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about when you hear it, but I got four.
You did a good job.
I mean, he made a puzzle of this. You have to know something about the Beatles to get it, and you have to put some work into it. But he's put it together, so it's very musical poem. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Excellent comment. Thank you, Miriam, and thank you for catching all those songs. Okay, we're ready for our next fabulous poem for tonight.
And tonight we have How Vacant by Alternative Pixie, and I will give this one a read. How vacant. Forget that you think it's vacant. I have the audacity to disfigure midnight for the sake of the brave and the bluff. Sweep uneven puzzle pieces, chop them all up. The picture of me peels away at mutiny and impediment, and nudity isn't so easy. You'll remember it later in all its antiquity, standing bare in rotting flesh, and you'll know then it wasn't inauthentic. End poem.
Oh, fabulous read. I thought this was very clever and nicely written. Congratulations on your front page pick, Alternative Pixie. You know, I really like, you know, the way that, you know, she just speaks boldly. The pitch of me peels away at mutiny, an impediment, and nudity isn't sleazy. You'll remember it. Wonderful line. I enjoyed that. And Gray, what did you think of Alternative Pixie's poem?
Hi, Louie. Yeah, I thought it was wonderful. I mean, you know, it really speaks to the pitch of me peels away at mutiny and impediment, and nudity isn't sleazy. I really enjoyed that penultimate stanza. It was very deep and thoughtful, so, and also a great reading.
Mm-hmm.
So
great.
I will be stepping
Thank
away
you,
from the top of the hour, just so you know.
Oh, you're going to call the next hour?
No,
okay.
I'll hang out on the line, but I'm going to be eating, so sorry.
Great. Okay. All right, Miss Katie, you did a fabulous read of Alternative Pixie's poem. I'd love to know what you thought about it.
I thought it was great. I love the – it was just – it was hard-hitting, I think. It was telling somebody that they weren't really being that authentic. And nudity isn't sleazy, you'll remember it later. I like that so much. That's a real big, you know, when it's too late, mate, you'll remember. I like it. And that the last two lines, standing bare in rotting flesh, and you'll know then it wasn't inauthentic. Yeah, that is hard hitting. Mm. I liked it a lot. I very well done, Alternative Pixie. It was a great read. Thank you. It was great.
Agreed. Thank you. And now we're ready for our next poem.
And our next poem is I Return Home by Sam Sampson. And Laurent, could you read this for us, please?
I Return Home. Wood-fired stove, tantalizing smells waft skyward. I return home. The cast iron, hot to the touch, brimming with the year's best harvest. Old cook pots, passed down from mother, still seasoned to perfection. A soft bread, crust golden brown, newly emerged from the oven. Aubrage, soy and onion, watered enough for miso soup. Sliced paneer, pools on windowsill, an added delight for me. End poem.
Oh, I really love the imagery in here, and you did such a fabulous write of reading his poem. I really like his avatar. Skeleton sitting in some, I guess, salt water. I don't know. Zach, what did you think of this wonderful poem by Sam?
It read like a Goldilocks kind of thing, and there was like a real familiarity with, like, I could, like, the pots in the pans. You see that kitchen,
mm-hmm.
You know, that well kept, very well kept, along with the miso soup recipe. It just felt very familiar, even though I don't think I've never had miso soup that authentic, but very delightful.
Oh, excellent comment, Zach. And how about you, Miriam? What did you think of Sam's poem?
Well, I'm kind of overwhelmed with nostalgia here. My mother grew
mm-hmm.
up in France, the house, and visited there. The early times we visited there, we did use a wood-fired cast iron stove. And boy, is that hot. And it's you have to keep water in a reservoir in it. and you can get hot water out of that reservoir. My sister used to test it by putting her hand underneath it while she ran the water. Not a good idea. But back to the love the smells and different kinds of food that are described here. And from starting with the bread cooking, I was not expecting miso soup, so that was a lovely surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just very, very enjoyable, homey poem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, homemade food, the smells. When we were visiting one of our friends in New Mexico, she used this type of stove in her kitchen, and we made homemade flour tortillas. So, when I was just listening to Laurent read this, it just brought back so many memories, the smells that we connected this. I agree, Miriam. And Laurent, you did a beautiful you did a beautiful job in reading this. What did you enjoy about Sam's poem?
Well, it works on a couple of different levels. I mean, we all return home at some point or another. And when we walk into a kitchen and all the smells of our youth are there for us, and the cook pots and the cast iron stove, all the familiar items from our youth are there and are being used to create food that is to be shared. And food, of course, is love. So you walk into a kitchen and it's filled with love. For the same token, that wood-fired stove, if you're going to cook on a wood-fired stove, you got to know how to cook. You got to know to add wood, stir coals, move things around, have the water on the side, et cetera, et cetera. It's just a lovely piece. And I agree, it can fill one with nostalgia.
Agreed. Thank you, Laurent. You did a great job in reading that. And Miss Katie, we're ready for our next poem.
And our next poem is Snowflake Waltz by Tomahawk. And Zach, could you read this, please?
Sure. Snowflake Waltz. For we are blessed this winter's day to see the snowflake waltz at play, delicate dancers in resounding joy, performing only for every girl and boy. But then, army all just children at heart, to witness such graceful choreography, feeling a divine kiss from above to impart this marvelous blessing to all of humanity. Behold the snowflake waltz, God's gift for us all. Forever young shall we be in his spiritual call, with radiance and grace, a performance of love, exclusively orchestrated from heaven above. End poem.
A wonderful read, Zach, of Tomahawk's poem. And Gray's not here, so Miss Katie, what did you like about the poem?
I just want to say to Zach, breathe, man, breathe. So cool, very well read, very well read, don't get me wrong.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness me, I was breathless with you. Yes, I thought this was lovely. I love those first two lines, for we are blessed this winter's day to see the snowflake waltz at play. Just lovely. It just makes, these kind of things makes the coldness and the dampness and the misery of winter almost worth it. just for the snowflakes waltzing. So yes, I thought it was beautifully written and I like it. I love the idea of the snowflakes waltz. Lovely. So thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. We have a caller, 703. Who am I speaking with?
I got cut off, so I called back. This is Miriam.
Okay. Thanks, Miriam. All right. So let me, let's see. Gray's not here. So what I loved about this poem was, where he talked, I said, I found myself smiling in delight with your imagery in your first stanza, snowflakes and children dancing. For we are blessed this winter's day to see the snowflake waltz at play, delicate dancers and a resounding joy, performing only for every girl and boy. And I loved his rhyme in here. And then I loved his couplet where I told them that the Creator blesses us with seasons and crystal raindrops. And he, in his couplet, he wrote, feeling a divine kiss from above to impart this marvelous blessing to all of humanity. And I said, you know, this is, you know, the beautiful, great artwork of, you know, the creator. And I just really enjoyed it and enjoyed listening to it being read. So our next poet to comment, now we're going to be off because Gray's not here, will be, oh, let's see, Zach. And I would love to know what you thought.
Read like a hymn, but like a childlike hymn, which is a paradox. And the presence of God felt important, very like throughout, from heaven above. It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. It was beautiful imagery. Thank you, Tomahawk. And we're back to you, Miss Katie, for our next poem.
Our next one is In Charlotte's Corner by Blue Harrison. And Miriam, would you care to read this for us, please?
In Charlotte's Corner. Been away from those safe corners, but with great definition and fine-tuned detail. Loose yourself, upside down, dangle, so fragile, the slightest breeze will take you by storm. I've read your autobiography, know those large words that hedge and become stone-strong defenses surrounding those you love. You watch me wander barefoot in the drenching snow dew. Does your multi-view vision throng as focused rings round my loneliness? Would you share your opus magnum song with such a mere mortal? I can once in a while imagine myself as someone arachnida, a woman to be feared, unensnared was weaker, who would curse her as a fool.
Fantastic read. I saw that she wrote this poem and got a gold medal. Congratulations. And front page picks. And she was writing on acquired taste and unpopular opinions. So, Laurent, I would love to know what you thought of Blue's poem.
I enjoyed this immensely. It's another look at Charlotte's Web, and I enjoy people who take tales that we all know and extrapolate a little bit on them. Spin away from those safe corners with great definition and fine-tuned detail. Loose yourself, upside-down dangle, so fragile, the slightest breeze will take you by storm. I read your autobiography. And right off the bat, I really enjoyed those three stanzas. And it speaks... then of herself, through the eyes of, mm-hmm. of Charlotte, you watch me wander barefoot in the drenching dew. This is nicely done. I enjoyed it.
Wonderful comment, Laurent. Thank you. And what did you think of this poem, Miriam, that you just read, Blue's poem?
I might be a bit prejudiced because I love spiders. And I also love bugs.
Yeah, I do too, outside.
Oh, I love that they're very, very good to have in the house because they catch the insects that you don't want in there. It's mm-hmm. great to have some spiders on your plant. Now, you don't want a tarantula in your house, but those little ones are very good. Anyway, I love the story, Charlotte's Web, so I noticed that right away. But then the poem expands into... talking, there's an actual person here, an actual human being, I mean. I didn't mean that spiders are not people. And the idea, I see myself as a woman to be feared. So the poet is actually thinking of herself as a kind of spider and asserting her own worth.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fascinating moment, and I have put it into my list to look at later. I'm sure there's a lot more to get out of it.
Thank you. And Katie, what did you think?
Not a massive fan of spiders. Sorry, Miriam. I once faced one. It was ginormous, and it came towards me as if it was a case of, I'm going to get you. Oh, sorry. Sorry, hang on a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Can't breathe. I'm so sorry. Oh, dear. Yeah, so, but they are, I mean, they're a marvelous thing. I have to say, I'm a vast fan of their webs. Oh, my goodness me. So beautiful. When you come out in the morning and the dew is all over them. Lovely, lovely. So, yes, again, mm-hmm. a lovely idea taking it from Charlotte's Web and from that particular point of view and then into the person. I thought it was wonderful. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you. And we're ready for our next poem.
And next we have Become the Bigger by Titus. And this has a sound cloud. Are you able to do that?
I'm gonna look for it right now, see if I can see it.
Okay, my dear.
It's not. Oh, for some reason, hold on. Okay, here it is, but hold
Love
on.
Them.
Because it is so small, I'm going to need a magnifying to read this. Okay, here we go. And here is Titus.
Become the bigger. There is not a defamatory word more lethal than the bullet from the trigger. From the gun to call the black man nigger. If had it been illegal, my having overheard the slightest mutter with a hint of bluff, might the slightest slur with the glint of an eye define the same. Well, let's end all this stuff, I hear you plead. We shall overcome this pry. A time persuasive since those days of old, then Negro boys were toughened hard among roots from which the past did strength behold. O patient spirit, please prove causation wrong. Our thoughts upon supremacy does trace the woeful grudge the white man fears the most. Past records will not clone the master race, nor change the way we black dudes play the host. I hear you, man. Let them rhythm and blues spit out them tad suspicions on what we hear. The urgency of gangster rap pay, wicked shoes, with nifty moves that hip-hop's an atmosphere. Ain't nothing, man. Them guns, just take a look. Down at the gym now, that's where you'll find me. Darn, them chicks look kinda cute. A mirror shook. So I'll be damned, that's confidence for you, see? Non-belligerent, that's me, and I will never pretend it didn't hurt. This past dereliction, black has led, it won't change the color of darkness, my friend. Know what? I see the same red color you have bled. The N-word, I'll say nice things. A new stance, nifty footwork, thanks. That spring in your step, you'll see. Black beauty with a touch of romance, that's confidence, my man, just give it lots of prep. In a white world, I would configure love's leniency to mix a little merengue, and those Charleston junks move and groove down New Orleans. A frequency of fade ado, he can do all the canoodling he wants.
I really want to thank Titus for that. He wrote that for Martin Luther King Day. I really love the jazz swag that he put in here and the rap that he did. You know, I thought this was wonderful. I liked where he says, where is it? Oh, my goodness. I can't, of course, when I'm looking for it. You know, where he talks about that in time persuasive since those days of old, the nigger boys were toughened hard among roots from which the past did strength behold. O patient spirit, please prove causation wrong. You know, I liked his wording in here. I liked how, you know, he brought out, you know, how the black race has suffered under a lot due to where he says what the white man fears the most, you know, which I have never understood any of that because it has been found that one race is not more superior over the other one. Yeah, of course we do have our, you know, the ones that have a high intelligence, you know, of course, but that's in every race. But I really enjoyed this, you know, and it's just food for thought about prejudice. And I really loved the jazz tick that he took with this. What did you think, Zach?
Oh, I loved it. From an outsider's perspective, looking in at the dreaded N-word definitely paying tribute to the spirit of the black person through the medium of hip-hop. And it's smooth, very smooth, like a biting shot of alcohol, definitely gin. And I just love the weaving back and forth with the beat and the rhythms and the sing-song tone really fit.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Excellent comment. And how about you, Lauren?
Sorry, I had to get off mute. I hear you, man. Let them rhythm and blues spit out them bad suspicions on what we hear. The urgency of gangster rap, eh? We could choose with nifty moves that hip-hop's an atmosphere. You know, to take just that stanza and follow up on what everyone else has said, they're looking at you look initially at rhythm and blues, which is an art form of music attached to the black community,
mm-hmm.
I think, very strongly. And it hints, it just hints at some of the things that we now hear stridently in gangster rap with nifty moves and hip-hop's an atmosphere. The rap itself is an art form that really it was born, I think, from the ability to look at inequality and deliver it in a way that is entirely different from past genres of writing. And it is a very, very strong medium, and it definitely hip-hops an atmosphere. Very skillful. Very, very human poem.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you so much, Trump, for that wonderful comment. And I'd like to welcome caller 512 to the show. Who are we speaking with?
Hello, can you hear me?
Hi, Frank.
No.
Hello, Frank.
Hello,
Hello. Welcome, welcome to the show. And since you haven't got the comment yet, would you like to make a comment on Titus'
On Titus' speech. Yeah, you know, Titus always has this eloquence that's admirable. Whenever he writes, he always puts a twist to it. But what I enjoyed about this poem was just the raw essence of the truth that he speaks here. You know, the whole poem itself, although it's inspired by Martin Luther King, he brings us to the bigger aspect of what the plight was as well, what the fight was as well, and what should be centered here on what we should do and what we should learn from the lessons of what Martin Luther King himself fought against. Oh, it was a fantastic
Agreed.
Song, Clyde, as well.
Agreed. Thank you so much, Francisco, and welcome to the show. Good to hear you.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
And Miss Katie, would you please let us know who our next poem is?
I suggest it would be my delight. It's Sunset by Nan529. And Luyu, would you care to give this one a read?
Yes, I would. Thank you. Sunset by Nan529. Warm orange-red sky mixes with the winter blue skies, the bare black leafless branches of the trees, silhouette against the warm red sky. If only I could still time to enjoy this sunset forever. End poem. Oh, what a beautiful poem. She says her, you can't see this poem, but you can kind of see it in your mind's eye by the description. She said her brother took the poem, and I just thought it was lovely. I took a photo like this also, but the sky was fire orange, and it was early, early in the morning hours, and I went to a park to watch the wild bunnies run around, in the park because it's by a desert area, and all the wild animals would come out while the sprinklers were on, I would just go drink coffee and watch the bunnies and watch the sky turn fire red. This is just gorgeous, and that brought that memory back, and I thought this was just lovely by Nan, and congratulations on your front page pick. What did you think about this poem, Miss Katie?
Oh, so pretty. I mean, yeah, the picture is pretty. The words are pretty. And I just thought it was, again, you see amazing amount of meaning in so few words. And I love silhouette against the warm red sky. If only I could still time to enjoy this sunset forever. Oh, lovely. Well, I hope you do have time to enjoy this sunset forever.
It does leave you breathless.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Miss Katie. And we're back to you, Miriam. I would love to know what you thought of her brevity.
Well, the colors in the images are very lovely, but what really struck me was the next to last line, if only I could still time. And I had to read that a couple of times to make sure before I really understood. It's if only I could stop time, but it's with the idea of stillness. If only I could still. I've never heard that before, and I really, really love that.
Thank you. And thank you for a lovely comment, and congratulations, Nan, on your front page pick. And we're ready for our next poem, Miss Katie.
Oh, off mute. Oh, yes, the next one is By the River and Love Testament by Hakobako. Our very own Hakobako. And Frank, I can never say that name correctly. Frank, would you care to give this a read for us, please?
Yes. By all means, this is a poem by Hakobako. It's called By the River and Love's Testament. The stars are heavily draped eyes of you, teeming with Pablo's sigh. The wildflowers feed off in you, break open their stigma with rain. Falling a little after sundown in the garden, where I do not carry these words as love attends. With your heart, our hands, a valley, where rose bushes envy, stay afloat atop waters amid the peaking of breasted bone. Suddenly your lips brush the summer air, immovable, initialless. We peak, our haven blooms by the riverside, and your voice meets heaven. Before sunbirds impart into poem. I'm sorry, my voice was going there.
No, you did a beautiful read on Hakobako's poem. Oh, it's just gorgeous.
Yeah,
I would like to know
like
what you thought about this. What did you think about this poem, Laurent?
I'm delighted with the imagery in this, the way he presents us with his own insights, our hands, a valley that rose pushes envy, stay afloat atop waters amid the peaking of breasted bone. Subtly your lips brush the summer air, immovable. Marvelous, right? Marvelous.
And great. That was a beautiful comment. And what did you think about the poem, Miriam?
I'm sorry, I was caught up in the poem. I was surprised you said my name. That's here. I've been studying it and thinking that I probably need to ask Hakobako some questions. It's I don't find it easy to understand. There's so much in the poem. So many images and so much unusual wording. Your lips, summer air. I think that's an image I have not heard before. And the last line, before songbirds impart, and I'm kind of leaves you hanging there, before songbirds impart what? I have to read it a few more times. But it Very, very beautifully. The sound is beautiful. Worded.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Miriam. And Francisco, you did such a beautiful read of his poem. I'd like to know your thoughts.
Yes. I thought the poem, I thought the poem overall really had some wonderful imagery. You know, it's a very classic type of poem. I used to write poetry before. So it's reminiscent of an essence of time itself, of nature recaptured. He brings us such an illustration here, as a lot of his metaphors here, of what just the beauty of itself, just the beauty of what a river and what love can mean. It's just a wonderful, wonderful illustration of that. Did a fantastic job.
Okay. Yes, it was. Thank you so much. And Miss Katie, we are ready for our next poem. Very romantic.
Right, we have Ash Turned to Dust by Chinaski, and this is a SoundCloud.
Okay, I'm looking for it. Alrighty, I found it.
Yay!
Here we go.
Worn porcelain cage ribs, weather-beaten rocks placed on shoulders, high trolling floods swell on a hidden shore, kneeling without prayer, as the will is billowing smoke, wandering ghosts with ashes turned to dust, and the rusted dove hinge shutters rocks back and forth upon rooftop coffins, looking for any fucking god inside skull-bone prisons.
Fantastic reading by Chinaski. I'm looking at his author's notes where he says, had to feel anything of pleasure these days, although trying hard, the inevitable is supposed to happen, and the unknown adds to this anxiety. I numb myself with hope. The mask turns into a monster. Oh, my goodness. You know, his imagery here is just, you know, to me, I can just feel the heaviness of his soul where, you know, he just, you know, you just, you know, like, you know, those days where you're going, can anything get any worse? When is this going to come out of all these heavy issues? Wooden porcelain cage ribs, weather-beaten rocks placed on shoulders, you know, the weight that you have to carry sometimes can just be unbearable. You know, and then, you know, on top of that, trying to, you know, like he said, trudge through flooded swells of, you know, hidden shores that he didn't, you know, like he just dropped into another pit that you didn't think you were going to be able to get back out of with all this, you know, weight that you carry. And, you know, he says that, you know, even though he's going through this, he says, oddly enough, yes, worth it, but in reality, it doesn't matter. My hope is that this tragedy brings us all together. So, you know, I agree with him. You know, it is easier to carry a burden with other people when you can hold their hand and get support. Thank you, Chinaski. And he got a silver medal on that also. So I would like to know what you thought about this poem, Miss Katie.
Oh, my goodness me. It's never good to hear that a fellow poet is, whether this is, you know, this, it might be fictional, I don't know. If it's not, then it's horrible to hear someone else in pain. But it's also cathartic, I think, to get that out on the page. I know it's helped me. I'm so sorry. I really hope that the wandering ghosts go on past and you find something that makes it more bearable. So, so sorry. And I hope things get better. Thank you for sharing, though.
Thank you so much, Miss Katie. And Zach, you're our third commenter.
I loved it. It reminded me of the black and gray imagery, the white. It's spooky. It reminded me of like a black and white film, particularly The Lighthouse by Robert Eggers. I was brought into the mind of, like, Robert Pattinson's character. He's, like, the ultimate workhorse. And there's, like, this crushing prison madness to it. It's very black, malevolent aura. It's crushing. And I hope that the poet, you know, is not living any of that. And that's all fictional.
Agreed. Yeah, he worries about a lot of things, you know, nature and everything. So I hope so, too. Thank you, Chinovsky. And we're ready for our next poem, Miss Kitty.
Right, the next poem is "And He's Leaving Me Behind." And I'll read this one. "And He's Leaving Me Behind" by J.A. Nice. "When I was young, Mama would keep me in the house when it started getting colder out. I never thought it was very fair. My older brothers out playing, riding bikes, while I watched through the frosted window asking, 'Mama, why can't I go?' 'Because you are little,' she would say, 'and it's too cold.' 'Aren't the boys cold?' 'No,' she would say, 'they're boys.' My youngest older brother was 8 years on me, and I'm the baby of the family, but he's the baby boy. He looks back, making funny faces at me, at my long face in the window. 'Na, na, na, boo-boo, you can't go.' Mama always swore that she didn't have one, but I'm pretty sure he was her favorite one. Maybe that's the reason why he was the first one of us to be called home. And I feel as though I'm left here again, watching him go through a cold, frosted window." End poem. And the author's notes. "My youngest older brother of three suffered a stroke this past Sunday and is in a coma. He's not expected to recover." Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
I am so sorry. So sorry. Okay.
I'm sorry to hear that. Can you hear me, Miss Katie?
Yes, I can, my dear.
Okay. Wonderful read. I'm sorry, you know, J.A. And let's get her some comments. What did you think about this poem, Laron?
It's sad. It's extremely well written, and it's relatable, mostly. How many younger siblings have complained similarly about being left at home while the older boys, the older brothers go out? It's not an unfamiliar scenario. But the way he transitions from "na na boo boo, you can't go," to "Mama always swore she didn't have one, but I'm pretty sure he was her favorite one. Maybe that's the reason why he was the first one of us to be called home," a euphemism for dying. "And I feel as though I'm left here again, watching him go through a cold, frosted window. Once again, his brother is going somewhere where he can't go and probably doesn't want to go, but that is also inevitable." This is a sharing of the heart and a sadness that is quite piercing.
Hello.
Thank you, Laurent. And Miriam, I would like to know what you thought of J.A.'s poem.
I have lost several brothers. I know it's very hard. I love the nostalgia in the poem. And even the faux pas of the mama. The poet says, "Aren't the boys cold?" The mama says, "No, they're boys." Well, I mean, of course, that was a kind of a dumb thing to say, but just to have that as a memory, it's a beautiful memory anyway. And the metaphor in the poem, I didn't get right away. I took some studying. That last verse is just heartbreaking. It's so beautiful.
Thank you so much, Miriam. And Francisco?
You know, this is a very, very tristful poem. It's full of gloom. It's full of a reality that most of us can relate to. Fortunate for me, I have not have this experience of loss of siblings, but I can surely understand what it could mean. And I thought she did a fantastic job displaying the emotions, the raw emotions of the film. And the metaphor in the end was, the stanza there was very much very indicative of what the poem really meant in its heart, its essence.
Agreed. And our condolences go out to you, J.A. Nice, and I hope, you know, that he did recover. Thank you.
I believe that was a few months ago, so it's possible.
Mhm. Yeah, that it takes time to see how much damage has been done. Oh my goodness! And we're ready for our next poem, Miss Katie.
Right, we're now on to open poetry, and we have our very own Miriam's poem for Raphael, age 6. So, Miriam, would you care to read this, please?
Be right with you.
Okay, no hurry, my dear. I'll sing while you're getting ready.
There's no entertainers there now.
No need for that. You'd all leave.
For Raphael, age 6. When I went walking down the beach today, I met a dog who tracked my every step and tackled me for sport. Among the waves, we dodged and tagged each other. Silver foam arranged itself around our dancing feet. A quickly rising tide assailed our game, while heat of sun and sand attacked the cool white spray. Above our heads, a flock of gulls came wheeling, wailing, swooping through the blue. Coquinas raced the surf in hide-and-seek as splash and roar of breakers lashed the shore. Our whole world joined the chase in aimless joy. The winners, a retriever and his boy.
And I was looking at your author's notes, and you said, my poem honors a bright interlude on the Chesapeake Bay about 33 years ago. A stray golden retriever taught my little nephew how to fetch a big stick. You know, I found this uplifting, and I see you got a bronze. Congratulations on this beautiful poem. I loved all the details, and, you know, you could just feel the happiness and giggles through. I could just see, you know, all of you dancing, especially where you said how you all were in silver foam arranged itself around our dancing feet, you know, and I could just see that. And this just was absolutely beautiful, and what a gorgeous memory. I'm glad you shared that with us.
So much.
Miss Katie, I would love to know your comment on Miriam's poem.
It was lovely. I loved the little bit at the end, the last two lines. Our whole world joined the chase in aimless joy, the winner, a retriever, and his boy. And then your A.N. And then your A.N., you give us how a golden retriever taught my little nephew how to fetch a big stick. I thought that was so cool. I love it. You can imagine it. Yeah, I love dogs anyway, so there we are. But we have this wonderful, you give us the picture, in the mind pictures there. When I went walking down the beach today, I met a dog who tracked my every step and tackled me for sport. You can imagine it. Oh, my. So good. Uplifting you quite correctly. It really is. It makes you feel, wow, you know, there is fun in the world somewhere. Not anywhere around about me, but there is fun. There is fun somewhere. So, yes, I loved it. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Agreed. Thank you. Wonderful comment. And Zach, what did you think of Miriam's poem?
It's like a brush of fresh air after the Berman-esque piece. I love the clear memories, the clearness of it, full of clarity, and just... you can see the surf rolling out there, the Chesapeake, you know. Hopefully there's no blue crabs in there too in the shallows, but you never know. But it just brought this great nostalgia and what a pleasant memory.
Great. I think it's a pleasant memory too. And Gray, are you able to comment? Are you still eating dinner?
No, I'm able. But
I don't
no,
like to.
I thought it was fabulous. I thought it was a fabulous rite. You know, it captures the beauty of playing at the beach with the dog, and you know what that can teach us. And there's a beauty in just existing with dogs. You know, they have so much to give and receive by us. So I really enjoyed it. Great read, Miriam.
Thanks so much.
I imagine that your nephew laughed a lot during this learning example. Miriam.
You know, I don't know whether he has seen it yet. He's been having some troubles communicating, but I have decided I'm going to print this and put it in the mail and make absolutely sure he gets to see it, because I think he would really appreciate it.
Yes, I think he would too. Thank you for sharing that with us. And Miss Katie, we're ready for our next poem.
And next on the board we have Response from the Third Row Man in the Middle by the writer C. And Laurent, could you give us a read for us, please?
Certainly. Response from the Third Row Man in the Middle. I don't trust the Rockefellers or any other fellows. I am not loyal to the red or the blue. I want an administration that can relate to me and you. Why are our leading candidates over 70 years old? And why can't we protect the schools like our precious money and gold? I can't support a liar and a thief when our society is desperate for humanity relief. We have money to pay entertainers and for senseless wars. We lack empathy for struggling families and helping the poor. What happened to us? How did we let a small group of people brainwash us? I say no more of their days of saying so are over. End quote.
That was nicely read, Laurent. I really enjoyed the way you did that. And let's get some comments. What do you think about the writer's piece poem, Miss Miriam?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm on my way out. I forgot to hang up. Good night, everyone.
Oh, <it's been>
good
night, Miriam. Thank you for calling in. We enjoyed having you. Thank you so much. Okay. So what did you think about this poem, Francisco?
Well, you know, I like when everyone can express themselves, regardless of what political affiliation or religion or whatever be. I like the way they can express themselves, whether we agree or not, you know, it makes no difference. What's important here is the reflection, the expression of words. And I thought he did a fantastic job of expressing, genuinely expressing his emotions, his thoughts. And there are certain things there that he does make mention of, but do, you know, speak a volume of truth to. So I hope at least it serves as a lesson for us to at least think about, reflect.
Agreed. Excellent comment.
Oh, yeah.
Francisco. And what did you think about this poem, Laurent?
Oh, Lord, I could get started on this. And you don't want me to do that. I don't mind candidates over 70 years old, necessarily. Once you've seen things happen in a certain way two, three, or four times, there are very few surprises left. Now, when he says, I can't support a liar and a thief, it's unfortunate that a liar and a thief has a chance to be president again. One wonders what the supporters of this individual actually looking at, because they're not looking at the same thing I'm looking at. I belief. Now,
yeah.
the last two lines, what happened to us? How did we let a small group of people brainwash us? I say no more. The days of saying so are over. Well, unfortunately, we have developed a system in this country that lets money rule in a way that denigrates people. That does not provide an equal playing field. But, you know, that is not necessarily bad, but it's when that small group of people that he refers to get in charge and decide to take capitalism, for instance, and pervert it in a way for their own benefit, then it really, really begins to hurt. This is a voice that is popping up to protest, and I've heard a lot of other voices over time pop up. We need to get all these voices together in one loud voice, and then, indeed, their days of saying so will be over. Great peace.
Agreed. You know, I look at it this way. If you wouldn't allow somebody to do these things to you, not owe you money, not pay you back, you know, watch your teenage daughter getting undressed at a beauty pageant, you know, it's just, you know, hello, common sense. You just, common sense, you know, that, you know, you know, I have issues with this also because, you know, you pretend to be of a holy organization, which I'm not going to name out, and you say you follow Christ's example, Jesus' example, which he was a modest man. He didn't even have a home. He did not raise a hand. He did not raise a sword. He was not violent. You know, he also talked about peace, and you support somebody who is nothing
who's the
like Christ.
Of that.
You know, it's just, to me, it's mind-boggling, and so I'm not going to go political because I can, I'm like Laurent, I just, I have to restrain myself. So I'm going to ask Zach. Thank you, Laurent. Excellent comments. Zach, what did you think of the Writer Sees poem?
I had a fun time reading this. There was a sense of, like, to forever object rather than subject. Born in the spirit of skepticism, and it's about keeping those days alive and just moving forward in the spirit of seeking reformation from those oppressors, those oligarchs.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And now we are ready for our next poem.
Okay, our next poem is The Premier by Harmo, well, sorry, by Zach. I'm sorry, I can't say your name correctly. I do apologize. Over to you. Could you give us just a read, please? Little.
Sure thing. Okay. The Premier. A new alignment is written in white spiderweb lettering hanging over the black marquee. Otherworldly deities flit in. Diana and Apollo arrive on chariots. Locke hunts her eyes on her body. White slabs splayed helpless and blazing on looming canvas. Her wide eyes hold such a terror. Two convex magnifying lenses. Spear past clouds reaching stars. Spectral space figures ride the night. Spectacle promised at the premiere. Zeus and Hades stow swords lured by primal conflict. New stories of death and pain. Prometheus senses suffering. Burning up inside someplace far. Beacons of distant pain waves, a hard storm is brewing. Mortals are at it again. Ticket prices, time dates, branded on grafted skull skin hang in the ticket window. No luxury of forgetting numbers. Three cheers to the month show. Hope of death builds, peregrine pulse pounding. Nightmare consequences locked in coffin-sized boxes. Black onyx, Sophocles statue, standing center stage. Boulder crag head, rough hewn.
rears up to the soul light, yellow cone, shoulders aglow, highlighting black with gold, sides creased in shadows, fronting furled curtains, burgundy wine hangings on prisoner tilt, swing red velvet drape, waterfalls, prison chain pendulum, rising back and forth, stage mouth, shrieks open, crashing peals of thunder, reflect a dramatic climax, stormy orange act drop, brightened by red lightning, yellow sparks dripped on stage, darkening sky signaling celestial filament showers, chains bind to my ankles, locks shut to my neck hole, my throat screams won't shut, visions obscured underfoot, immobile, mobile movement disappears, plans for growth destroyed, trauma leaking out of my ears, one single draft pick sits, take the lone auditorium chair, sole audience member, an analyst, constant and voluntary participant, primary protagonist, a hero, projected on stage and off, seeks a counselor to cut the antlers going where the skull vanished. I watched and I lose it. I can't. Brain popped out of my skull, running forward in pursuit. Each minute a scene swells down vacant bone hollows filling the ivory teacup. Visions pass in peripherals. Traumatic drama unfolds. Stage wings operate under opaque silken veils. Five stories high, curtain apex, while saran-wrapped trees spread, umbrella unfurled, stretched, sheeting, decoupled, yanked, faster, offset than cane hooks. A troop of extras stand ready, bits of scenery flank the sides, stage left and right stand, chest-like, hunched forms, slow disguise covers, carrying set pieces bareback, padding noiseless on stage, beams flashed on wide shoulders, patients, nurses, techs, doctors. I know my mom's out there, too. Wide and short in shadow, one hard mattress bed strapped, back broken, mind snapped. The ring of extras scatters, leaving her in her room alone. Heavy walls stand watch, chains ending in manacles, rice clamping iron fetters, mom's wrists and ankles, stuck in a coffin bed. Bury the problem in sheets, hidden off like a victim. Shaw sounds of struggle on stage, mnemonic, ragged breathing, moaning, breathing nightmares, contorted cheese-mooned face, eyes closed, yet sleep is uncertain. Drowning sounds suggest otherwise. Her father and uncle appear, circling, Ferris-wheeled faces, cycled and looping, childhood horror, beatings evident in painful groves, rapes echoed in strident moans, lying, frozen in the darkness, on, skin begins turning gray, shadows made of trauma linger, wavering on walls and ceiling, chorus of cursed sounds builds, belts, blacking tender skin, TV antenna, cut bloody ribbons, her dying dogs, whimpers, heard over heavy boot stomps, no sweep, no escape, no wake, memory leaking into present, artful essence flicker on, still figures surround her bed, then smiling in silent wait, mom free from one nightmare, hook of another snaps her, the moment her eyes pop open, she sees her family in their face, double phantom stare back. A heavy, fattened figure looms, hovering over her tall visitor. Stinks of pillows, smothering her. What to throw during lunch? Water and yogurt fail to satisfy. Settles for a punch in the face. Others laugh like evil druids, reveling in hazing seance. Feeling her nice pair of shoes. A damning Polaroid camera, one shot of her in that room, should solve the case. No one to pop her locks. Staff members keep eyes shut. Awakens bodies in protest. Creaking hinges yawn open. Oval can coffins pop open like tin lids. Salted abuse sit up in protest. The lights run out. Cut. The stage darkens. Bass drum heartbeat thuds bouncing off chamber surfaces. Machine gun taps. Double pounds. Solo tantrums. Pulses knocking. No regained patterns to write. Ragged breathing joins the orchestra. Death conductor coming on wing. Bones rather in a hollow gourd. Outside her door, life endures. To the right of the room walls, staff members fear to tread. Addicts scream withdrawal language, sweaty aches, hunger for release, court-ordered patient scowl, mutiny evident in contorted brows. They turn to her into a hideaway, forgotten asylum, and the asylum secreted among psychiatric staff might as well forget she exists when she fails to turn up during all therapy sessions, incanting her name, ill omen, easy stuffing her full of bad meds. The moon and sun trades 15 times. She wakes for bathrooms and food. Find stomach and bladder turn traitor. Cannot wait for the porcelain bite. Staff gallivanting away from duty. Toss holding the keys, tossing dirt on her. Miss glances devoid of caregiving, not listening to pocket jingles. Her walls stand a death watch. Ceiling staring at her like a vulture. Patient neglect gains sentient pulse. Building in their room while she hovers in and out of sleep. Anvil's bearing on her drowning chest. She cannot bear to heave an inch. Efforts wring her face, sweat, ragged, robbed of her sacred dignity, thrust into the realm of death. Net close to the curved edge of, she tastes the bladed scythe, felt the probing of glares, not a hand of comfort to lend, my own bound in chair stasis, struggles and wakening dreams, voices assail her in gales, collective of people from life, mixed with psych ward chatter, dream and wake blend together, death threats handed from both, rage rolling in crescent echoes, such filth she had no part, defiled her, spreading, finding her body 8 days later. I can't leave my prison chair. This curtain's day, eyelids up. I'm stuck in a month, doomed, remembering bits and scenes over and over again. The show goes on. A derisive chorus rises from the back. Laughter and roars of approval. Gods get what they get approved for, came for. Glutting at the whole spectacle. Strapped to my seat, hands grip. Knuckles bleached, white fists relive every dark detail of the trip. And poem.
Well, this was just fantastic. What I would like to know, what play were you watching that brought out all these fantastic and emotive images, Zach?
It was some musical in Florida. That is very whimsical.
Oh, really?
I decided to frame my own struggles through that of the play.
Ah, so this was kind of has a personal edge to it.
Definitely.
Yeah, well, on some of the stanzas, I could feel your emotions. It just amazing. Let's get you some comments. Katie, what did you think?
I can only say phenomenal. Wow. So much to, I mean, every stanza has this ache and this anger and this needing to, I don't know, punish someone for whatever happened. I mean, it's wow. I would have to read it again, Zach. I am so sorry. I think it's absolutely wonderful. There's so much coming out of that. For you to be able to read that is amazing. I loved it. So, yes, very well done. I will read it again. You have to excuse me because I'm an old lady. It takes me a while. But I thought you read it brilliantly. I thought it was must have been cathartic for you, by golly.
Yes.
But thank you
yes.
for sharing that. Yeah, I thought it had to be because there was just too much of the. I can feel it. I'm kind of empathetic. I tend to feel a lot more than I particularly want to. But you know what got me? the stanza that really hit me. A heavy, fattened figure looms hovering over her. Tall visitor thinks of pillows smothering her. What to throw during lunch. Water and yogurt fail to satisfy. I love that. I really did. I thought that was incredible. And settles for a punch in the face. Oh, wow. Yeah, very well done. Thank you for sharing.
You know, I can feel thank you, Katie, the traumatic emotions in here where you said one single draft picks it, takes the lone auditorium chair, sole audience member, an analyst, constantly involuntary participant, primary protagonist, the hero projected on stage and off, seeks a counselor to cut the antlers growing where the skull vanished. Oh, my God. And, you know, the one above that, the chains bind to my ankles, lock shut, my neck hold, my throat screams, won't shut, visions obscured underfoot, immobile, movements disappear, plants laid for growth, destroyed, trauma leaking out of my eyes, you know. We've all had moments where the pain is so unbearable. You know, I can find, you know, and I have said this before, I cannot always say what I want to say to somebody verbally, but when I write it in poetry, in pen, and express myself, and Katie and I have talked about this, it's amazing how we can talk about trauma and agony through our poetry. And, like you were saying, the traumatic drama unfolds, stage wings operate under oblique silken veils, you know, five stories high, curtain apex with saran tree spread umbrella unfurled sketch, sheeting decoupled, yanked faster offset than cane hooks. You know, it's just like one, trauma after another and just trying to survive it. You know, this is just powerfully written. I really enjoyed listening to you read it. It's, you know, it's so many emotions and things that are happening. It's hard to take it in all at once. And, you know, this is something, this is the second time I've read this. And, you know, each time I read it, I see something different. And, you know, that is, you know, what I love about poetry. It's not the same repetitive thing. It is something we can read several times and pick up different things that we can see through your eyes and some of the things that we have experienced. You know, not the same, but almost in the same line of trauma. Just fantastic. And Gray, what did you think?
Well, I thought you did a fantastic read on that, right, Zach? But I mean, it's a heartfelt expression of personal suffering and endurance. You know, you really went to a theatrical place with your write and captured the essence of the stage quite stellarly in your poem, so beautifully written and read.
Thank you, Gray. And thank you, Zach. And Miss Katie, we're ready for our next open poetry poem.
Okay. And we have A Poet Uncrowned by Laurent Guillon. And Laurent, could you give us a read, please?
I will. I just got to say to Zach that I admire the fortitude that it took to write that particular piece. Pretty amazing.
Thank you.
All right. A Poet Uncrowned. I once knew a buxom lass who spoke only in rhyme. The wordplay was flawless, each syllable sublime. No quick conversation. Communication crawled apace. A master of alliteration. Which letter wins the race? Adverbs and verbs, coupling with nouns. Adjectives formed words in positions profound. But as long as it rhymed, making some kind of sense, and the meter kept time, paying attention to tense, she would chat on unabated, like a Jabberwock dream, like conversation sublimated by her unending stream. Now, she had a fair bosom, outstanding at form, leaving most men struck dumb at size exceeding the norm. Of shape splendiferous, certainly every man's fantasy, but the penalty was rigorous because of her tongue, you see. Always wagging, despite being clever, left manhood sagging on the edges of never. Prattle on she must, without equivocation, rhyming a drug, an addictive sensation. Verbal scribbles like Scrabble, meanings abound, consensual babble, poet uncrowned. End poem.
I'm sorry, I gotta ask you, what in the world inspired you to write this, Laurent?
A really good joint.
It was the
home run. Rolled it home.
Man.
Nicely done.
I need to come sit with you and ask you to pass it. Laurent. Francisco, I would love to
know
what you thought.
Oh, Laurent, I thought it was a box of laughs there that inspired you there, but now you tell me this, so I'll have to sit here for the night and ponder that. But overall, the poem, as always, he's a masterful wordsmith. He brings in the right words in the right flow, but he gives us the tease with this poem, and he usually does this. And what I found more remarkable was the fact that you were able to throw in the verbs, the nouns, and the adjectives into the positions of which I can only imagine what the reference there is. But you did a wonderful job here, Laurent, and I like the the Nazi fire that you added onto this poem here, using delightful poetry to basically tell us what your feelings are or what your opinions are on the matter there. But surely, an inspiration like that, I cannot say anything bad about.
Well, thank you, Frank. Thank you, Frank. I'm an appreciator of bosoms.
Well, yeah, I was wondering there, because yeah, I'm getting to that hour now, but you woke me up with this poem, yeah, with the books and laugh there, so you got me contemplating at least for the night.
And Zach, what did you think of Laurent's poem?
Oh, sublime. There's the beginning and to end of it. I love the narrative aspect of it. Just sort of easing into it. And then there's definitely like a rising and a falling to it as it progresses. Obviously there's the physical element to it, but that seems like it seems to be like that's what it mostly was, because it seems just like kind of addicting without much else beyond that. But it's very emotive and well written, and you know, sometimes things are like that, but there are others, but it's just really well done.
Thanks.
It is. I loved your imagery through here. I was not expecting that ending. I didn't know, you know, when you opened that first stanza, I just did not know where you were going there. But obviously you got poetic because you know, but as long as it's rhyme, making some kind of sense, and the meter kept dying, paying attention to text, I just found myself just, you know, oh my God, Jabberwock dream. I have not heard this word in a long time. Splendiferous. That just made me grin. It just seems you're very poetic and very lyrical when you're on a high. People on prattle on Shima without evocation, rhyming a drug, an addictive sensation. Verbal scribbles like Scrabble, meaning abound, consensual babble to a poet on crowd. You know, I loved your rhyme. I loved your meter. I have got to say, I love your sense of humor. And nothing is better than a good high.
Let me apologize, first of all, for the very flip remark that I made when you asked me the question. I mean, it wasn't a lie, but it wasn't the motivation, and I don't think it was anything more than a relaxation, because I've had an awful lot of trouble writing lately. I mean, the words simply aren't there. The emotions aren't there. It's more of a numbness, you know, than anything else, and that is not necessarily inspiring. However, time and time again, when I've been stuck and I don't know what to write, I just start to rhyme. And rhyming somehow, you know, paying attention to form and meter and rhythm, et cetera, allows me to at least progress. And, you know, what I write, I don't plan. It just comes out like many poets, you know, that's what happened here. I started making it a little funny. It's hard to write humor. I mean, we had a great humor program, but it was tough to find rights. This humor is hard. I lucked out on this.
Well, you know, since I got sick, it's really been hard for me to write. I used to be able to write at a drop of a hat, and now I have to be inspired. Or in Spanish, we say I need to have los ganas. You know, it is a want. It's a want to write. You know, so now I understand that. Because, you know, I want to write, but I just, you know, it just, something has to inspire me. I just been you know, having issues with that. And fortunately, I'm, you know, some writing is better than none. So I appreciated your writing. I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you, dear.
And Robbie said, Robbie's poetry, he's in our group. He said that, same here, Norant, I just let the words take form, and it feels like the whole poem is already there, just wanting to come out in full form right there. And you did. Fantastic. It was humorous. I enjoyed it. Thank you, Laurent.
I thought you were going to read great.
We're back to you, Miss Katie.
Okay. Our next one is, if you're looking forward to this, The Darkness of Hell by our very own Frank. And there's a SoundCloud, I believe.
Yes. Can you please play that, Greg?
In the sable shadows of nightmares is a horrific chamber of carmine fire, where the putrid flesh of lost souls fade into the silver ashes of death. Behind the cracks and nooks of the solid walls of the doors of torment resound the haunting echoes of a sadistic chastisement imposed. The path of the stormy nights of lightning lead to rain mountains of purgatory, and the scavenging vultures of the oasis and walls of the forest wait below for the torn and shredded morsel of meat to eat upon the scarlet stakes of the earth, as chariots of demons escort the chosen ones to the gates of the onyx brimstone. Hopeless stars turn into streaking burgundy comets and meteorites. The skies wave in the toxic fumes of the merciless mist of clouds. The menacing crows cackle suddenly, a deafening dirge of utter dread, silencing the voices of the burning, sentenced to a sudden imprecation. Through the inflammable pit of blaze emerges the wicked face of retribution, marked with the visible engraved numbers of the terrifying D666. With two ivory colossal horns, and piercing with the eyes of madness, little laughter roars like the drowning thunder of the mighty name. He resides within the suffocating nightmares of the darkness of hell.
I've got to say, your ending couplet just raised the hair on the back of my neck, Van Diesel. Oh, my goodness. Let's make
I thought I brought some entertainment for tonight.
Terrifying. That was terrifying. Great. What did you think of Van Diesel's poem?
Well, Frank, your showmanship really came through in that read. I thought it was fantastic. The whole write was just powerful and spooky, and you know, you did a, you're a masterman of the stage and screen, so beautifully right, and a fabulous read.
Well, I appreciate that. I do appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. And what did you think about the poem, Miss Katie?
Wow. That was fun. I won't sleep tonight, and you got me with that laugh at the end. Oh, my golly, you got me. I was so good. I mean, there's so many things in there to make you go, whoa. through the inflammable ablaze emerges the wicked face of retribution. I don't like retribution. I don't like it at all. It's a horrible thing, marked with a visible engraved number of the terrifying beast, 666. Yes, I thought it was brilliant. I've beautifully written and beautifully read, of course. But I love anything to do with hell. I just have always been very keen on this horrible, dark, shadowy place. That's good.
I thought of you tonight, that's why.
Well, I reckon I'm going there anyway, so, you know, it's going to be fine.
There you go.
Warm. So thank you. I loved it. I terrified the life out of me, but I loved it, my dear. Thank you so much.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Miss Katie. And Laurent, I would love to know your comment on Francisco's poem.
I'll be happy to render my opinion. First, I have to chastise. I have to chastise the young man because now I, you know, I haven't been around much, I admit. So when it came time for Frank to read the poem, I missed the title, okay? And I immediately started looking for the poem, right? And I couldn't find any author's name that I recognized. And I'm going through the pages. How did I miss it? How did I miss it? And all of a sudden, I'm looking at the picture, and I said, oh, that's Frank. He's now a laureate, Montana. I wasted 5 minutes trying to find you, my friend. Okay. yeah, Lawrence and laureate. I'm not sure about you. All right, now.
Well, it's,
the second.
It's an ode.
Huh?
It's, I'll be brief, really quick. It's a Spanish name. It's a laureate Montana. But it is, it's my pen name. It's my writer's name as a writer, as an author.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I do like the name. It's kind of unique. I have not run across it yet. Look, you performed extremely well in the reading of this. The laugh probably outdid any of the other poets who, like Rex, for instance, has that laugh. You outlaughed him on this one. volume is a little loud, but you out laughed it. And all of this is pure Frank, who can take an image and render it in words that really bite at you. And you can feel the claws of the words gripping your skin and pulling like a cat kneading flesh when it's happy. And those claws come out and pull at you. But yeah, and any number of lines here succeed remarkably well. But what I really, the two stand out for me for some reason, for a torn and shredded morsel of meat to eat upon scarlet steaks of the earth, I thought was remarkable. That's outstanding, as is the entire poem.
Well, I appreciate that. And that is my picture at the bottom there at times.
Oh, no.
No, I'm just kidding.
I almost said, if it was Wednesday night, I would make a comment on that song in that picture.
Oh, no, we don't even know that tonight.
Because Wednesday's the artist's seduction. Okay.
We'll have to bring a dog sexy poem next time if I find one.
Oh, my
goodness. You know, that forked tongue has all kinds of possibilities.
Yeah, you never
there
know.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You have to click on the video, Laurent, to know, I suppose.
Frank, you and I both probably get into bed upside down.
Along with the bosom lady there. I don't object to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and we're ready for our next poem, Miss Katie.
Okay, now, do you want me to put up Irish Roses collaboration, or will I leave that?
Yes, leave that, please. I'll add it to next week, please.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, so next we have, just bear with me one moment. Oh, there it is there. Ha-ha! Sneaked up on me. This is The Fine Print by the writer C. And, sorry. Zach, would you like to read this, please?
Sure. If I could go back, I'll bless the food
and leaves by 8. But I was caught in a game called Switch and Bait. It was the .25 hidden at first glance. I should have left the floor when she wanted to dance. I didn't read every line. It took 12 months before I knew she wouldn't be all mine. Why didn't I read all the restrictions and the limitations? I was beat by gifts and expensive vacations. The terms and conditions were written in obscure language that left my mind and body in twisted anguish. It was costly not to read paragraph 3 and line 10. It stated, even winners don't really win. It didn't guard my heart. Line 4 gives the reader a warning. She'll destroy your life. She's a gold digger and a self-made trophy wife. I just couldn't read the 6-point millimeter, the smallest print. It was like looking into a window with the darkest tint. I should have studied the 5th paragraph. It would have saved me from the courts, fighting to keep my own financial half. And boom.
Oh, that was a good read, Zach. I really enjoyed this poem by the writer. See, I had to go look to see what contest he wrote for, and he wrote for somebody that's emotionally cold. And it says, write a poem about you or someone else that is cold-hearted. So good luck on your entry piece, the writer C, and let's get some comments. An excellent read, Zach. What did you think about this poem, Gray?
I thought it was a wonderful statement on the modern relationship, you know, where you've got to read the contract thoroughly and have your lawyer assist you in doing so when you get into a relationship so that you know that what is required from you and what is expected from you. Otherwise, you're going to pay with your financial half. So it was a stellar write in the conditions of today's society and situational in relationships. So excellent write and a fantastic read, Zach.
Let me tell you, that golden shoe can be worn by a man or a woman, let me tell you. And what did you think about this poem, Laurent?
I had to take a moment, so I'm right in the middle of reading it right here.
Okay. While you're doing that, I'll ask Francisco. Francisco, what did you think of the writer's new poem?
Well, I don't know much about these types of experiences. Mine wasn't as messy as this, but I have to say that he seems to have a wonderful, wonderful way of writing. This is the second poem tonight, I believe, it from him. And you know, it has a moral, you know, a moral conviction to this poem. There's something to it that he's trying to give us a lesson to learn. And it's really difficult when you think about, you know, what one we usually at times have to learn the hard way. And this is something of which he has regretted, but he's trying and he's had to learn the hard way, and particularly with that last ending there. Even winners really.
Yeah, you know, I really like this poem because it goes both ways. You know, if you marry somebody who's only thinking of self-gratification, which, you know, it's obvious before you marry them, so why do you marry them? You know, and, you know, they can wipe out your bank account, whether it's male or female. You know, and they just go on to the next victim. Mm-hmm. They don't stop looking for victims. So you're not paying attention to what you're getting into. You know, it's going to be a bad experience, you know. And, you know, Gray's talking about, like, modern times. But, you know, this happened in the old times. Women had to pay dowries to get somebody to marry them. And, you know, the men would inherit all their wealth, even though it wasn't theirs and they didn't work for it, you know, and you have to watch somebody just ruin your family's, you know, inheritance. So, you know, this is just something that it has happened for a long time, and, you know, beware
it's
of who you get entangled with. Mm-hmm. Agreed. And we're ready for our next poem. We have time for one more poem, I believe.
Yes, we're going back first page, front page pick, sorry. Slow Burn by the Wayward Sun. And Laurent, would you read this for us, please?
I will.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you again.
All right. Slow burn is the one?
The one. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Slow burn. People have stopped asking why I never mention you. I guess it's that old habit of inserting objects in blank spaces, empty, half full. It all smells the same when we dwell on it longer than it deserves. Most of my memories of you are clouded by the smoke of your Winstons. They stopped breathing years ago. That we share the same planet is about all I can bear some days. But I made it out okay, no thanks to you, the purveyor of scars. Yes, those early years were like a skipping stone that would drown when it stops. Wine and men age much differently, smooth and bitter, like distant cousins. So I much prefer whiskey, and it always gets straight. End quote.
That was a fabulous read, Laurent, of Wayward Son's poem. I really enjoyed it. So let's get some comments. Katie, what did you think of this hard-hitting poem by Wayward Son?
I thought it was magnificent. I mean, what caught me, and I know it shouldn't because it's blatantly obvious, but you get to that fabulous line, yes, those early years were like a skipping stone destined to drown when it stops. I thought that was marvelous. I just think, wonderful. And again, we have wine and men age much differently, smooth and bitter, like distant cousins. So clever. Yeah, I really enjoyed this. I thought it was amazing. So thank you for sharing that with us, Wayward Son.
Excellent comment. Thank you, Katie. And how about you, Zach?
Oh, I loved it. I got the sense of this person wanting to fill that empty space, you know, by the speaker. It's just from the loves that they used to chase, like coffee, and then like aging like coffee dregs. There's a bitterness, and then at the end, the progression, withering like bitter whiskey, very aged poem, like a barrel of whiskey, and it just brought it to a nice close.
Mm-hmm. He did. You know, for me, you know, this was just a powerful piece, you know, of, you know, emotions that you can still feel that are so raw, you know, and then that, you know, of course, the breakup towards the end after you realize, you know, that stone is, you know, sunk, which, you know, the same thing with your heart. It can just sink your heart just the same. And I really loved his, you know, ending, wine and men age differently, smooth and bitter like distant cousins, though I much prefer whiskey, as it always gets straight to the point. You know, I really, you know, the whiskey, the yeast taken out of the whiskey. I thought that was brilliant. And Laurent, you did such a fabulous read on this. I'd like to know your opinion.
Oh, this is a great piece. When I read the title, I couldn't help but flash back to any number of cartoons where a cartoon character is undergoing a slow burn. You know, there's kind of an awakening of thought, and then you start to get red, and the face changes, and steam starts erupting from the top of your head, and then you explode, of course, like a pressure cooker. And that's what a slow burn can be, but this one sounds like a slow burn over years.
Mm-hmm.
I love the phrasing. I guess it's that old habit of inserting objects into blank spaces. You know, we all try to do that, and we all try to find meaning in everything, even when it isn't. Even when it doesn't necessarily have a meaning. Like you, I really enjoyed the whiskey, as it always gets straight to the point. You know, the hard truth, wine can be very seductive. It can be smooth and bitter. But I guess if I had to pick one stanza, yes, those early years were like a skipping stone destined to drown when it stops. That almost stopped me when I read it. It was really artful, as is the poem.
Thank you. Excellent comment. And Francisco, I'd like to know what you think.
Yeah, this poem is very emotive. You know, it's very raw, intense. You know, it talks about an experience here, and like Laurent was saying, you know, it can be a gradual, slow burn. But overall, I really just enjoyed the notion of the poem and what it conveyed. Did a fantastic job.
Agreed. And Gray Eyes, thank you for that excellent comment.
You're welcome.
And what did you think?
Yeah, I thought Lauren did a fabulous read on that poem. But, you know, the poem is, I don't know, it's kind of painful, you know. It's, you know, like a slow burn. People have stopped asking why I never mentioned you. I guess it's that old habit of inserting objects into blank spaces, half empty but half full. It smells the same when we dwell on it longer than it deserves. Yeah, you know, it's definitely an emotional poem, but it's definitely very well written and an excellent read, Mark.
Agreed. And he did read it very well. And I really enjoyed the poem by Wayward Son. We had a great show tonight. I want to thank Katie and Gray Eyes and Francisco and Zach and Laurent and Miriam for calling in. And I want to thank Rosie and Robbie for hanging out on the board. We always enjoy having y'all. And I want to wish y'all a good night. And I will see you next Monday. Kisses for everybody. And besitos for everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, my
good
dear.
Good
night, everybody. Love you guys. See
love
you next
you,
Monday.
Good night, everyone.
Take care.
Good night.
Much love. Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Take care, Katie.
Thank you, my darling. You too.
I'm glad you enjoyed the piece.
I loved it. I loved it. I'm looking behind me, and the window's closed.
There you go. There you go, my dear. Take care.
You too, my love. Bye-bye.